Hello and welcome to the March Review Show on Crime Time FM. I'm Paul Burke and I write about crime fiction. And once again, I have an eclectic mix for you that demonstrates how broad a genre crime is. Let's start with a novel that will have you feeling a little bit better about the world. The Case of the Bereaved Butler by Kathy Ace, the ninth in the Wise Inquiries Agency's mysteries. Henry Devereux Twist, the 18th Duke of Chellingworth, is worried about his butler, Edward. He seems off his game. Of course, it's not easy to find out what's wrong. I mean, it's not as if he could just ask him. It turns out Edward's brother died a couple of weeks ago, and poisoning is suspected. Enter the women of the Wise Inquiries Agency. Wise, one Welsh, one Irish, one Scottish, and one English. Discreetly, they will help to fathom the crime and restore Edward to his former efficiency. But underneath it all, the Duke and Duchess really do care. The narrative is brisk but lyrical, and peppered with humour and warmth. One for the fans of timeless Golden Age mysteries. Published by Four Tales Books, in paperback, hardback, and digital. And come to think of it, maybe I should have ended with that one. Too late now. Action Pulp next from Tony Knighton, A Night at the Shore, fourth in his Unnamed Professional Thief series. Casino dealer Buddy offers the burglar a job. Easy money, apparently. Cash lying around the house. The owner nowhere to be seen. The burglar can't resist, despite his girlfriend threatening to leave him. Naturally, when he gets there, the job soon goes wrong. If they weren't expecting him, they certainly cottoned onto him very quickly. The thief is on the run on a locked-down island off the New Jersey coast. And to top it, it's the middle of a storm. The odds are heavily stacked against him, not just cops, but mercenaries. And the net is getting tighter. Can the thief figure it out and escape to find out who crossed him? The tale is told in his voice, which puts us right in the moment and at the heart of the action. A proper noir anti-hero, but you can't help rooting for him. Sharp dialogue, constant movement, but what really makes this novel fizz is the cast of characters and situations our hero finds himself in because attempts to leave the island are thwarted at every turn. It's pacey, cynical, and thrilling. Published by Brash Books in paperback and digital. A political thriller with espionage overtones now, The Assassin by Tom Fletcher, second in the Diplomat thriller series, after The Ambassador. You might ask yourself, how much trouble can a High Commissioner to Kenya get into? Turns out quite a lot. Despite trying to keep his head down, it soon goes wrong when terrorists take over a shopping mall and his daughter is kidnapped. To spice up the plot, there's a series of political assassinations with Chinese and American targets, and that's ramping up the tension between the two. High Commissioner Ed Barnes knows he has to prevent conflict escalating and crucial climate talks from being derailed. Fletcher is a former No. 10 policy advisor, and this pulsing thriller has the authentic insider feel. Of course, reality is ramped up, and the needle is well in the red zone. Intriguing and entertaining. Published in hardback and digital by Canelo. So I've only gone for one police procedural this month, but it's a good one. Alex Gray, Out of the Darkness, the 21st DSI William Lorimer novel. This is a series I popped in and out of over the years, but I found this fresh and enjoyable. And that's at least partly due to the Zimbabwe angle, which, if I'm honest, seemed like an odd one at the start. Because Lorimer and his wife are on holiday in Zimbabwe, and it's their first proper holiday in years. Naturally, that won't last. Meanwhile, back in Glasgow, PC Daniel Coey's proximity to a murder investigation leads him to being recognised. Forced to flee, Daniel was formerly an inspector in the Zimbabwean police. His enemies had thought he was dead until now. And now everyone connected to Daniel is in danger. The action moves between Glasgow and Zimbabwe. It's pacey and craftily plotted, and has really good characters you can buy into. Published in hardback and digital by Sphere Books. Close to Death by Anthony Horowitz is the latest to feature Detective Daniel Hawthorne, as rendered by Horowitz, the character in his own novel. All's well in Riverside Close, a gated community in Richmond. That is until Guy Kenworthy and his family move in, disrupting the peace and garnering the hate of all his neighbours. When Kenworthy is killed with a crossbow, all of the neighbours are in the frame. The police are mystified. and even Hawthorne finds this a nutty problem to solve. Horowitz as ever gives us a clever murder mystery, and juicy characters to chew over. If you don't like metafiction, the involvement of the author in the narrative is something you'll have to negotiate. But it's actually an added layer that gives the novel depth and humour. It's playful and twisty, and the grey matter gets a workout too. Nobody does this crime fiction better than Horowitz. For entertainment, it's top-notch. This is certainly the most fun I had this month. And again, it's published in hardback, digital and audio by Century. Requiem Bell by David Michael Nolan, another pulp, but this time set in Ireland in 1917, in Dublin in fact. This is book one in the Tommy Conlon series. Tommy fled the city many years ago after making the wrong kind of enemies. Now he's returned from the trenches having fought for the British. He still carries a torch for a love that ended tragically before he left Ireland. He wants a peaceful life, but there's fat chance of that. His best friend has disappeared, and investigating will drag Tommy back into the underbelly of the city, populated by guns, gangsters, and rebels. When they come for Tommy, he fights back with a vengeance. Some nice twists in an action-driven historical thriller. A quick read, intriguing enough to leave me wondering what's next for Tommy. Book 2 is set in 1918. Published by Rough Edges Press in paperback and digital. And the only in-translation novel this month is Malin Persson Diolito's Deliver Me, translated from the Swedish by Rachel Wilson Broyles. Some of you may remember her outstanding debut, Quicksand. Diolito specializes in crime fiction that reflects on social issues and the aftermath of violence, particularly in relation to young people and children. This time, two boys who meet when they're 6 years old become firm friends despite being from very different sides of the track. Rich boy Dogge is actually a neglected child. Billy is the son of poor immigrants, but at the same time is loved. Both become runners for a gang that has taken over Vårringa. It's all about the status, the money, the drugs, and joining the adult world. Of course, they're only 12 years old. Eventually, Billy wants to leave, but there's no escape. When tragedy strikes, it raises questions of youth violence, of culpability, and society's care for young people. This is a gritty and genuinely poignant story. The repercussions of violence are all too real. Modern Stockholm is blighted by an armed youth crime problem. I'd love to see more British crime fiction that takes a serious look at our estates and our problems, like knife crime, with the same compassion and incisive analysis that Giolito manages to. Incidentally, Giolito is the daughter of Leif G.W. Persson. Published by Simon & Schuster in hardback, digital and audiobook. And now over to Rachel Wolfe, who's going to tell us about her new novel, Five Nights.
Hi, I'm Rachel Wolfe, and my new novel, Five Nights, is out now in your local bookshop, supermarket, or it's available on ebook and audio. Emily is invited on a luxury cruise by her best friend, Belle. She hasn't seen Belle for 3 years since something very dark happened, and Emily betrayed her friend in the very worst way possible. She didn't say sorry. Instead, she ran home to lick her wounds. Belle has since married Sir Matteo Scarmado, a billionaire in his 60s. Belle's only in her 20s, so the story hit the press and still Emily didn't reach out. Belle has now begged Emily to come on the cruise with her because she needs protection from the Scarmado children, who are all watching their father's legacy very carefully, and they're willing to go to great lengths to protect it. I've really enjoyed writing about how these once best friends have twisted and turned on each other due to some terrible circumstances. Described as Succession meets Agatha Christie at sea, I hope you enjoy reading it. Thanks.
Thank you, Rachel. Five Nights is published by Head of Zeus Aries, and it's available in hardback, digital and audiobook. Rachel also publishes under another name, but I'll leave you to do the detective work on that one. Guy Hale, author of The Comeback Trail, has a new series starting this month. The first book is The Croaking Raven, and is based in Stratford in 1972, and essentially it's Shakespearean tragedy played out on the streets of the bard's hometown. Oliver Lawrence is not a man to let a slight pass, though he's prepared to wait a while before exacting revenge. After 15 years, the thwarted thespian has returned from Morocco to Stratford with a hit list. And so the bloodletting, and sometimes cleverer methods of murder, begins. Meanwhile, PC Toby Marlowe, new to the city, newly minted DC, and Detective Sergeant Fred Williams, old hand who knows all the angles, are about to find themselves deep in murder. Will the RSC and the people around it survive Lawrence? Lawrence has got himself an accomplice. The police are baffled, and revenge is sweet. The comeback trail also had a serial killer, a musician, and this time it's an actor. That series cleverly morphed across three novels. You can't just continue with a serial killer bumping people off over three novels, unless there are plenty of twists and turns along the way. And there are seeds in this novel that indicate this series will have plenty of twists and turns too. Of course, Simple Murder is not enough to sustain a series. On the other hand, there are 12 Shakespearean tragedies, so there's plenty for Hale to draw from. This could be a series which has longevity. Fans of witty, briskly written fiction that has certain dark undertones will love this, as will fans of Shakespeare's plays, of course, or of Stratford for that matter. It's a sassy, sharp read, published in hardback and paperback and digital by Bullington Press. And finally, The Innocents by Bridget Walsh. This is the follow-up to The Tumbling Girl, the further adventures of Minnie Ward, if you like. Minnie, who started as scriptwriter for the Variety Palace, now has the responsibility for the musical. She previously worked with private detective Albert Easterbrook to find the murderer of her best friend. And now they're paired together again. This is a year later. Minnie is desperate to keep the Variety Palace open, but a series of mysterious deaths, performers leaving, and her backers getting cold feet, threaten the future of the musical. It all seems to lead back to a fire, a disaster at the Trafalgar Theatre 14 years earlier, in which 183 children died. The 1863 fire is a powerful opening for the novel, and it's dark and moody. But Walsh also has a good sense of humour and plenty of empathy, and it's a truly intriguing read. Oddball characters and misfits who are endearing, and Minnie, responsible for the theatre, is a wonderful character, admirable, determined and feisty. A piece of Victoriana that gets the age and the music hall brilliantly. Walsh's PhD in Victorian domestic murder clearly did not go to waste. Published in paperback and digital by Gallic. And that's available on the 11th of April. Well, that's quite a selection there. I hope there's something you enjoy. If you want to know more about any of the books, you can look them up in the program notes. And they all should be available in good book outlets. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate and subscribe with your favourite podcast provider. I'll be back with another review show next month. And of course, meanwhile, the interviews will continue. But for now, bye, and thank you very much for listening.